Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in
Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, right, Dave?
That's right.
Yeah, we're pretty close.
Man, Dave Dale.
Well, I was going to say Hancock County, but Hancock County is Bay St. Louis isn't Hancock County.
Well,
right?
we get the mail that way. We put Bay St. Louis
on
there.
Oh, so they know where to send the bills.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, each and every Monday night, he's with us, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper.
All right, man, great to be here.
Dave, not much more we can say about the Saints.
But he's excited about the fight tight.
But how about LSU?
Oh, man, get better and better every week.
Man.
I tell you, man. Better.
And how about that number 40? He can play a little bit, can he?
Woo! Well, if you look at it right now, Dave, they have a 12-team playoff, and we ranked 8. I think we're trending in the right direction. You know, it didn't matter what happened against USC to kick off the season. Look, it's going to be a big game. It's like the playoffs continue.
It's a playoff game Saturday.
A&M, yes.
Playoff game Saturday.
Look at the embarrassing game that A&M had at the beginning of the year against Notre Dame. The same thing. Kind of. So this is a playoff game in College Station.
Okay, you knew A&M really took it to heart. Man, they took the belt out and spanked an unbeaten Missouri team. They beat them every which way but loose. Now, this week, almost like they were looking ahead to the LSU game. And sometimes that happens. And we sort of thought maybe that might be a little let down on LSU. You played an emotional game against Ole Miss. And it hit on all sections of the team, offense, defense, and Ramos certainly on special teams.
Well, A&M has been LSU's little brother. I mean, if you have to look at it, now I'm not saying A&M won't come away with a win, but A&M, to me, in the past, has nothing to be feared. If you look at LSU versus A&M, now I talk about LSU versus Alabama, that's a different animal. So you have to keep it in perspective. But, when that's going to come about, the first things first, you play in the Aggies. So this game, to me, is way more important for the Aggies, kind of like Arkansas against LSU.
Yeah.
Because they play for the booth, and you look at it's like this. This would always tell LSU fans. They don't like to hear this. But, man, LSU's like third banana on Alabama's schedule. You know who they just lost to, and that's embarrassing? They never lose to Tennessee. Oh, my God. Or the Iron Bowl Auburn. They don't want to lose to Auburn, and they don't want to lose to Tennessee. So I say, what about LSU, Alabama? Man, no, that's like to Alabama, that's like third banana. But I'm telling you, right now, A&M, besides the Texas Longhorns, LSU's the top banana.
I know for Tennessee. Peyton Manning will tell you this. That number one team they wanted to beat every year when he was at Tennessee, Alabama.
Oh, yeah, Alabama,
he
Tennessee.
Said that game year.
They hate each other.
And said Florida was a close second because, Spurrier, he was stirring
because
the pot.
Because they were both relevant.
He was stirring the pot with that. You can't spell citrus without the UT.
Yeah, and all that. But Dave, I tell you what, you got one program in the LSU Tigers going in the right direction and the Saints going in the wrong direction.
Oh, man, it was so bad that Grant and Joey went out to Airline Highway Saturday for the tryout.
Oh, did they go to a tryout?
Now, that would have been, I would have sort of suspected that might have happened.
Well, I don't know.
Like, that was funny.
I'm looking at Joey.
Believe anything over the internet. Well, that's the crazy part.
I'm looking at Joey with his stature. I mean, maybe you could deliver the water. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't.
Joey's going to be the designated holder for Ramos.
He might be able to kick if
Ramos.
He can kick or punt, maybe.
No, I want Ramos.
Now, and when I look at Grant, No, Grant looks kind of like maybe he could be an outside linebacker or something.
Maybe.
You know, maybe.
As long as they don't ask him to run too far, he's going to be okay.
Well, he looks like Ironhead, man.
Dave, tell us what's happening here at
Circle Slip. We got the radio show here every Monday all the way through the Super Bowl. And during Monday Night Football season, of course, we got the boards on the floor. And for the second time, I guess, that y'all been doing this on the stage, Bobby got the correct pick of the final score.
No, we did. Just the third time.
A third time.
Because the first time was the Super Bowl. It was the Seahawks against the Steelers.
Yep.
And that one, what was the second game, Mike? It was just a couple of years ago, maybe.
I think 2 years ago.
Yeah, we got that right and then got this. We might get back-to-back weeks. Y'all might change the rules.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Or to change the numbers on those picks.
But we have fun with the squares and all that, and you get honored by the quarter and then the end of the game. And, a very entertaining a couple of Monday nights. I think the NFL gets it right. We can't get enough football. So when you have two Monday night games, if you love football, people will watch everything. And they might say, well, the game's not close, then I'm going to go to bed because I got to go to work in the morning.
So now they give you two of them.
But then when you think about it, what I'm interested in, obviously, the NFC South, Tampa Bay. What's going to happen with the Ravens?
And can they stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson?
I am impressed with the Buccaneers are doing, but they ain't beating the Ravens. If they beat the Ravens,
that would really be impressive.
I'll say the Saints are really in trouble. But then now I look at who we're playing next, who's playing tonight, the L.A. Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers against the Cardinals. And the Cardinals play their division tough. The Cardinals might be one of those teams. They play the Seahawks. They play the 49ers. They play the Rams tough. So that's who we play.
Everybody else is sort of
shaky. You never know with the Cardinals. Yeah.
My thing about it is for the Bucs to win, the Ravens have to help them.
Oh, yeah.
They got to turn the ball over, because if they keep feeding you Derrick Henry and then Lamar, you got thunder and lightning there. You're in trouble.
Well, when I look at it, I think I'm truly being objective. NFC, AFC, the Chiefs are the only undefeated team right now. Come on, it's the Chiefs. Mahomes throws two interceptions a game. It doesn't even matter. That doesn't matter. So when I look at the AFC, I look at Chiefs, Ravens, where they're at right now, and then in the NFC, it's all NFC North. You look at the Vikings, Lions, and Packers. To me, and then the Bears are up and coming. That's the best, to me, AFC or NFC, the best division top to bottom. But you look at the NFC right now. Look, I watched that game because the Saints weren't playing. Well, look at that Lions.
That was one wheel of a game.
The Lions-Vikings game was awesome if you love football, how that finished. And I love Coach Campbell in the locker room. I mean, and a lot of Saints fans said, well, wasn't he in our building? Why in the hell? Why we let him go?
He got a chance to be a head coach. He left.
Yeah, right.
Dave, tell us what else is going on here at the Slipper.
Oh, man, we still have our two more Thursday nights, our Rumble on the Gulf on Thursday night, car classic rocking Jeep night. Got the 3HG band playing this weekend. Then next week,
Who's playing this weekend?
3HG is playing this Thursday night.
Okay, explain me what 3HG is.
It's three guys and a girl, but they're a really good band. They played here before. And then next Thursday, Halloween, is our last Rumble on the Gulf with a great band for Picayune, Monster Crawfish.
Okay, well, that one I've heard of.
Exactly. Well, 3HG just sounds three homegrown.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
He sort of got it, man. And Top Buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Number one buffet on the Steakhouse.
And the
Top Steakhouse. Got to come on down.
So, Dave, do you think the Saints can bounce back and win Sunday against the
Man,
Giants?
Give me a good answer.
None of this. It's either yes or no.
I don't think so. I think it's. I mean, they may win a game here or two, but I just don't see it happening.
Well, we play Carolina after. After the Chargers, we play Carolina. Well, hell yeah, we should win.
We just got too many guys that are hurt.
Okay, you think about Mr. Tepper, who owns the Panthers, and all of a sudden Jane Daniels goes down. Okay, we got a shot here. No, they got shellacked with Marcus Mariota playing quarterback.
Marcus Mariota played like he still should be a starter in the NFL.
But that might be the only game he plays like that.
The Commanders, I'm telling you, are a team that, watch out. You know, I think point differential, they might be number one in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Commanders, how they take care of business.
Now, that defense, if they go up against somebody that can score, well, they got trouble.
Well, the only thing is, I hope we play Carolina that they put Bryce Young back in, because I know we're winning for sure. If they put Andy Dalton, he might get hot and upset us.
Red Rifle wasn't on yesterday. He was sort of running for his life.
Yeah. But Andy Dalton brings stability. Now,
yeah, he does.
Will Jameis Winston have an opportunity to start for the Browns now?
Because they didn't go to him right away.
No,
they went to Darian.
The guy from UCLA with three names. Three names, yeah.
DTR.
Yeah. So Jameis Winston. But I don't agree with the fans. The Cleveland fans are like, they blue collar, they like Philadelphia. When somebody gets hurt, you can't cheer. You can't cheer, even though the dude's the son of a gun. And Deshaun Watson's not an upstanding citizen, but you still can't cheer when he gets hurt. You can boo. You can boo and then before the game and all that, but don't never cheer when nobody gets hurt. You don't cheer when somebody gets hurt.
That's the society we live in.
You know, don't feel sorry for Deshaun Watson.
No, I don't feel sorry.
He has like $240 million. Come on. He could take care of his grandkids and all that, not to worry about nothing. Everybody's so sensitive. But why are you treating Deshaun Watson so bad? Come on.
Dave, thanks so much for joining
us.
We appreciate it. Come on down to the Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike D'Antilia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Sunday, Ian Rappaport reported that the Saints were flying in Marquez Valdes-Scantling to see if they could come to terms with him. And Rappaport now, along with Tom Pelissero, are reporting that the Saints are signing Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's a big, tall receiver. Excellent foot speed. The problem with Scantling in the past has been he's been an inconsistent route runner, and he's got the dropsies. He's averaging 16.9 yards a catch throughout his NFL career. That's when he catches it, okay? So he's been a big play guy. The problem has been his inconsistency to be that real sharp route runner, to be that guy that can make that catch game in, game out. He'll have a great game, and then he'll have a game where he drops an easy throw. But at this point, the Saints are looking to bring in someone that can give them a big man receiver, and they have come to terms, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, with the veteran Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was with the Packers, the Chiefs. He signed with Buffalo in the offseason. As soon as they made the deal for Amari Cooper, he got cut loose. Inconsistent, but man, he gives you a big target guy that he can go downfield. He's got outstanding foot speed. That 16.9 yards a catch jumps out at you. Again, that's when he makes the catch, because he has had a tendency to put the ball on the ground. It goes right through his hands. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I hope you're enjoying this fantastic weather.
And it's good-looking, John. Man, it almost sort of feels like fall. I would like it a little cooler, but I'll take this. This is cool. This is all right with me.
I'll take a few degrees myself, but I'm liking what I feel outside. Listen, I'm not going to say much about the Saints or even their most recent addition because, you know, it's apparent to me that Dennis Allen just simply can't inspire or motivate the remaining players to play with any sort of fire. And it's become, you know, you look back and you see how Sean Payton was able to cover over maybe some of the deficiencies in the ball club, you know, especially in the lean years, that he was, you know, would make it to seven wins at the very least. I don't think he ever lost. Won less than seven games his whole career with the Saints. But, you know, there was one player, guys, in this state that was certainly displaying fire and desire, and that was LSU linebacker Whit Weeks. You know, LSU's defense has still been an Achilles heel, and, you know, it's definite that, you know, Nussmeier and the rest of the offense is going to have to carry him. But I've often found, guys, that one defensive player, no matter what his talent level may be, can often take a team on his shoulders and inspire them through sheer effort and instinct. And I think we got to see that in Whit Weeks on Saturday night.
Yeah, if you look at Whit Weeks, I mean, look, 18, to me, it caught, I think, the nation's attention when he had 18 tackles against Ole Miss. And then you just look at the third quarter, he's a playmaker with that tip and that interception that led to the LSU touchdown. And look, nothing against Harold Perkins, but Whit Weeks is a linebacker. He's a more productive linebacker. I'm not saying athlete and playmaker, but all around linebacker play, Whit Weeks is that guy. Now, I was telling Mike this, he could be an All-American. Now it's on ABC come Saturday night against the Aggies.
Got a lot of eyes watching.
Yes,
Saturday.
They're watching Ole Miss. Now, they weren't watching against Arkansas. You know why? Because Georgia's playing Texas at the same time. But they're going to be watching LSU and A&M, and then you're going to play Alabama. Whit Weeks, if he produces somewhat like he has in the against Ole Miss and Arkansas, if he does that against A&M and Alabama, he'll be an All-American. He's going to be a first-team All-American. No, Whit Weeks, I mean, you want to talk about a linebacker, no sort of football. Look at the passion. You know who had that passion? But Whit Weeks will get old one day, DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis has always had that passion, but this year not as much as in past seasons because you might be a half a step slow or whatever.
And you might be hurt and you can't play as well.
And you're trying to fight through something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Whit Weeks, Big John, that's a great point because he's bringing a lot of passion to that LSU defense. And they're trending in the right direction, getting better.
And here's my deal. They have the top pass rusher from a numbers standpoint in Braden Swenson.
Swenson?
Who is nobody before the season could have picked that. That would be the guy to be your pass rush specialist. And Swenson has really played well. But you know who's really played well, too? Quietly, Savion Jones.
Yes.
Man, his play against the run is so good. And then he gives you that push from the outside. Very good. And he opens up lanes that a guy like Weeks can run right through and get into the tackle. Now, one guy plays great. Okay, we've seen it the past few weeks in Whit Weeks, but look at all the other guys piggybacking off of that. Swenson, Savion Jones, and you know what it really helps? Their leaky secondary.
Yep. And you know, you look at it, you got to give Blake Baker a lot of credit because before the season, a lot of pressure's on him, but they are getting better. They are getting respectable. And I look at like scoring defense and what comes about. I mean, I just looked at this, LSU 16-17 lead. That was the first time this season the Tigers have held with a Power 4 conference opponent under 10 points at halftime. Usually it would be like a shootout. Oh, we're going to have to score 30-some points. So, no, that's very encouraging going forward. And, look, all I know is
they stopped the run.
We
couldn't say that on other games.
All eyes are on the Tigers and the Aggies. The last two undefeated teams in the mighty SEC is going to meet the last Saturday in October at College Station. It doesn't get any better than this. You don't think Disney, ABC, ESPN, it's all the same people. You don't think they love this because how they're promoting the SEC? Okay, we got a matchup come Saturday night. The last two undefeated teams in the SEC. It's not Georgia. Okay. It's not Texas. It ain't Alabama. It's freaking LSU and A&M.
Okay, and what you had Saturday? Texas, Georgia. Man, so you hit it back-to-back.
Weekend after weekend after weekend.
Thank you, Big John. We appreciate the call. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us Nicholls State head football coach Tim Rebo right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Go until 6:30 tonight. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We have on with us the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo, in this segment. Coach's Show is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Innovation for a healthy future. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Also, congratulations on the 20-0 victory Saturday against Northwestern. I was telling Bob, you had some miscues, so to speak, in the first half, or it really could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I thought it was a good team win. I thought we dominated the game. Offensively, we moved the ball. We had a lot of yards. We just didn't put it in the end zone. And defensively, I've never seen anything like it, how we shut them down. And they had 46 total yards of offense. So I thought it was a pretty good showing on the field on Saturday.
Now, so wait, Bob so wait, just looked at say, me and said, 46 wait, yards, yeah, what?
But in the first quarter? You mean four quarters?
He means four quarters.
Can I tell you all this, too? It was 46 yards of offense, and 21 yards of that came on a fake punt. So the defense gave up 25 yards the whole game.
Damn,
Bob, you better start contributing more to this NIL for Northwestern.
Saying, who's running the offense at Northwestern? I'm like, come on, to have that lack of production. Coach, when you look at the Southland Conference right now and where y'all at, and you know, you bounce back, and the team responds after Incarnate Word. And you look at Stephen F. Austin coming back into the conference. And wasn't that a pretty good shootout there with Lamar or something? I think they ended up coming out on top, but that went down to the wire. So just talking about your upcoming schedule and how you need to close out the season, because you never know, you know, the playoff ramifications and maybe if Incarnate Word has a slip-up. But what do you do going forward to motivate your team as far as – because, you know, when you look at the Southland Conference, obviously everyone wants to win the conference or be in the postseason. But you know who also has been hot is Southeastern and what they've been able to do. My understanding, you know, Riverbell Classic with Nicholls, but they're undefeated right now. So just break it down from here going forward where you're at.
Well, I think every Monday morning when we get in and have our team meeting, we look at the conference schedule. We look at who did what this week. And when you look at the games, Lamar kicked the game-winning field goal with about 10 seconds to go to make it 23-20 over Commerce. And then the last play, Commerce threw the ball around, one of those crazy plays that fell into the end zone, and Lamar got it, so they win 29-20. Southeastern scores against a good Stephen F. team with 2 seconds to go, kick the extra point and beat them 24-23. And then our next opponent, the McNeese Cowboys, go to Incarnate Word and really played them tough, and they lost, but it was 30-17. So there's a lot of football left to be played. And, yes, what do we do to motivate our guys? All we got to do is look at the schedule each week and know that anybody can beat anybody, and you better be ready to go. And I would be surprised if a team went undefeated through the league this year.
Coach, man, you had a lot of standouts on defense, but one really stuck out. Jake D'Amata, 5 tackles for losses, 3 sacks, a fumble recovery, and 10 total tackles. Man, Jake had one whale of a game.
You know, Jake was a former running back, and we had talked about that. He in a loaded backfield, so we moved him over to defense. He's just been getting better and better each week. He's so athletic, and I got to give Coach Rybeck and the staff, they put him in position to make some plays. He'll be the first to tell you he missed two other sacks also. He could have had a chance, and also he was named the Conference Player of the Week on defense, so really, really pleased with the effort.
Colin Guggenheim did something only one other Colonel's ever done. He eclipsed 3,000 yards in career rushing. So, man, a big event for Colin. Bob and I got to see him a couple weeks ago. He came over to the television show that
at
we
home,
do.
Yeah.
But, man, he is such a big part of your football team. And he's sort of your version of Taysom Hill. And just to cut it, he's sort of that guy. He can play quarterback and play halfback, play fullback. He can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. And Colin's been a big part of your success the last couple years.
You know, he's just a true workhorse, man. He puts that hard hat on every day. He's one of the old schools because he pounds it so much on Saturday. It takes him a little while on Monday morning to get going. But he's back ready to go. And, you know, we just kept feeding the rock. He'd pick up 8, 10, 9 yards, get some good carries. And next thing you know, he's got 130 yards and he's over 3,000. So, really, really proud of him. The effort we're gonna need every one of those yards in the next coming weeks also.
Now, I'm going to catch you off guard a little bit, Coach Rebo.
Coach.
I just look at, like, I don't know, because I watched the top 20, you know. I still call it 1AA or, you know, I look at all the polls. I look at everything. Why is it, you think it's because, I don't know, Nebraska's close by, but, yeah, University of Washington. But I look at, like, Montana State, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, they might have like 6 of the top 10 teams in the nation. Yep. And now, that was not always in the past, because you always had North Dakota State, but then now the Dakotas and the Montanas, like the Grizzlies have always been there, Montana Grizzlies.
Right.
You went to a game there, didn't you?
Oh, no, when Northwestern went to play University of Montana, they had Hell's Canyon. I'll tell you what, that's the only game, that's like their LSU. Or you look like Montana. Montana State. That's their school. So you have sellout crowds. It's crazy. But looking now, because you would know name, image, and likeness and players. Why are they maybe going to? Or because it's not just players from those regions. Like whether it's Montana State.
It's Minnesota,
South Dakota State.
They're getting their players.
North Dakota State. Yep. They all of a sudden. Then that's, you know, same thing like the Southland Conference, but it's like, whoa, look, whether it's the Dakotas or whether it's Montana, North or South Dakota, there's like they got 6 of the top 10 ranked.
Okay, my thing about that is they got football players in Iowa and Minnesota. Look at those rosters.
And where are they going? Yeah.
Coach?
Yeah, I think they are built a little different in that area and how they recruit and the brand of football that they play. It's tough, hard-nosed, and then they'll go out and grab a couple guys and bring them in and fit them into their mold. And, you know, the thing is, they had a game this weekend, number one versus number two, where North Dakota State beat number one South Dakota State, who hadn't lost in a couple years. So good brand of football, tough, hard-nosed. We know it. We went play them a couple years. We played Eastern Washington, who's in that conference. They got some good football teams, man, and it's just a different brand and a different breed of how they're doing it over there. And I don't, you know, it doesn't fit the mold of what we do in this area.
Coach, give us a little breakdown of McNeese and what you're looking to go up against this coming Saturday.
Well, I think they got him playing really, really well. Gary Goff has done a good job. He's rebuilding over there. They're 4-4 right now. They played a couple common opponents that we know. So, plus, you know, you got to consider this one too, man. This is a big rivalry game also. When you go back and look in the days when McNeese was in the heyday in the 90s and 2000, and Nichols couldn't even beat him. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we made a run and we made it a rivalry again. And I think they do a good job on defense. I think they got a good front. They're going to challenge our offensive line. They play two quarterback system, Mike. They play a couple guys back there. And you got to prepare for both of them. And I think they're going to be really good on the offensive line. So it's going to be one in the trenches again this week. I am glad that we're playing them at our home field at 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's homecoming for us this week.
Oh, Coach, Bobby can tell you, he played a game against McNeese.
Yeah.
I think they had 8 or 9 NFL players on that field that day.
It was 7 to be exact.
7? Okay.
It was 7. Now, I'm not talking about just, like, go to camp. I'm talking about make NFL teams, like Stephen Starring,
Buford Jordan,
Rusty Gilbert, who went with the Jets. Yeah. Coach Rebo, there was like 7 NFL players in a Northwestern Nichols game. So you think about that, the region. Then I'm not talking about trying to make NFL team. No, we're starting on an NFL team. No, it was unbelievable. So I think you're going to have players always in our region that can contribute at that level.
I think you had 9 actually go to a camp and 7 stuck around.
And 7 maybe.
Man, that's a lot for McNeese and Northwestern,
even
for back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were playing for championships. McNeese was playing for championships back then, and even in the late 90s, in their heyday. They did a good job of recruiting. They played a certain brand of football during that time, too. I just don't know if you'll see that many, you know, the way college football is now with the portal and guys having to transfer. You may get your 1 or 2 of them, but I don't know if you're keeping those guys that long anymore in today's age.
Yeah, Coach Rebo, last thing before we let you run right quick. When you talk about the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness, and Nichols upgraded the facilities, that when you look at that, how do you look about that going forward? Because are you still worried about if you got a player that contributes at a very high level that some SEC school might try to steal him away from Nichols?
It's happened to him already.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But how do you deal with that going forward? Just next man up or what?
I think if you got a guy who's playing at that high of a level, then obviously he's helped you have a lot of success. You know, and you say, hey, man, it's time for you to move on. We wish you all the best and go do it. I just don't want him to go out there searching for it and looking for it and try to get himself in a bad situation. I think that's what happens to a lot of guys today. But, hey, I'm all for a guy. He's good enough to play. That means, one, we've done a good job of recruiting. We found the right player. And, two, he helped us win a couple ball games. So, and then Bobby, you go try to find you another one.
Gotcha.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it. And good luck this coming Saturday at home, playing at home, man, and you'll have a big crowd. Now, I always told you this. You brought the noise back to Guidry Stadium.
Yeah, but bring the noise. And go ahead, Coach.
No, I was just saying thank you, man. We need a lot of noise at 3 o'clock, though. Get that good homecoming crowd back.
Just not when you're on offense, Coach.
You know, I'm going to leave you with this.
You got to calm them down.
I'm going to leave you with this. You don't have to comment. I still don't understand how Abilene Christian could be relevant. That's in the middle of freaking nowhere. I mean, I don't. Whenever I see Abilene Christian, that is relevant.
I do agree.
They play Texas Tech down to the wire. I'm like, how in that? What? That's in the middle of nowhere.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right. The Tim Rebo Show was brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems. Innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to close out hour number 2 here on Second Guess right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number 2 of the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We come back, Bob and I will talk a little bit more about Saints signing Marquez Valdez-Scantling, also Trey Murphy, and an extension of his deal. We'll have triple option, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network, going to be to visit Pensacola, Saints Coaches Show.
A little bit more about the LSU
Tiger right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.